And you know how it is sometimes. Things just don't go the way you plan. Wednesday night, Brother Art was talking about, and before I do that and have given Reese a chance to get the CD ready, are you running already? Can you back up and start that over? Trying something new there. Brother Art was talking about the Lord is coming soon. How many believe that?
Amen.
Jesus is coming soon. And he talked about that. And he mentioned it several times in his message that Jesus is coming soon. And I made a couple of comments at the end of the message there that I had just been reading a book that had to do with the third temple, which is the temple that's yet to be built and will be built at the time of the tribulation period or around that time. And I was talking about generations. And I said that a political generation is 40 years, but a literal generation is 70 to 80 years. So I made the comment, something about that from the time that Israel became a nation again, we're now at 60 years. And so it could be another 10 or 20 years before that generation that was born the year Israel became a nation would pass away, because the scripture talks about the generation that's alive at the time this happens will live to see the coming of the Lord. And so I didn't want to have any confusion there. Art said, Jesus is coming soon. And I said, maybe 20 years. And I don't want any confusion there. I'm not saying, I was talking about timelines here. And the timeline falls within certain frameworks. But I believe that Jesus is coming soon. In fact, Psalms chapter 90, verse 10 says, the days of our lives are 70 years, and if by reason of strength they be fourscore years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. You know, in the grand scheme of things that God has in place, 80 years is not a long time. I know when I was growing up and I was a kid about Casey's age, you know, it took an eternity to get through a school year. It felt like my whole lifetime was being lived out in that particular grade. Man, I remember we moved to California when I was in the fourth grade. It took forever. I went to three different schools that year, and it took forever to get through the fourth grade and the fifth grade and the sixth grade. I thought I must have been 60 years old by the time I got out of the sixth grade. You know, it took so long. And summers went so fast. I still understand that. How can one thing take so long and the other thing go so fast? You know. But then as time went on, it seemed like, you know, this time was speeding up. Did you ever notice the older you get, the faster time seems to go? You know, you have a birthday and turn around and you're having another one. You know, and clocks ticking off and all of that stuff. So time can fly in some ways. So in the grand scheme of God's plan, 80 years is not a long time. In fact, there's one place where he talks about a day is as 1,000 years and 1,000 years is as a day. So time can go fast sometimes. But I believe that Jesus is coming soon. And in Jesus' statement to his disciples about the end times, he said in Matthew chapter 24, verses 33 through 34, so likewise, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the door. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. This generation. You know, I've just been amazed at some of the things that's been taking place. And there are a lot of things that we don't hear about that God is doing and moving it. It's moving this timeline faster and faster into place here. And what's taking place that will come before the actual second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I was reading the other day how that they had the preparations ready to build the third temple. You know, basically, from all that I can read, if they so decided, They could start construction tomorrow. They've got the money. They've got almost everything they need. And the things that they need that is required for them to be able to start the third temple, biblically, they have. And some of these things they have not had in their possession for 2,000 years. But they've got them now. So it's a time that is coming fast. And as I said, Israel just celebrated its 60th anniversary, and the generation born in 1948 will be 70 in the year 2018 and 80 in the year 2028. My question sometimes is, will there be a year 2028? You know, will there be a year 2028? Because one of the things that I think sometimes seems to get confusing to folks here that we want to try to clarify a little bit here this morning is we must not confuse the rapture of the saints or the church with the physical return of the Messiah to set up the Messianic kingdom and the millennial reign. You see, there's a 7-year difference there. There's a 7-year period between the rapture of the church and the setting up of the millennial kingdom. So if you take this scripture and you go with the timeline of 20 years here, or another 10 to 20 years, and you have to deduct 7 years off of there, if it's only 10, and that's 2018, that puts it at 2011. I mean, that's really just around the door. I mean, what was it, 8 years ago? Just a little over 8 years, eight and a half years ago, everybody was so concerned. 1999, man, the year 2000's upon us. That millennial bug is coming. It's going to shut down all the computers. We're going to be thrown into chaos. Some of us were prepared for the world to come to an end at that point. And I still remember that I think it was my daughter in California that called. And she called us just slightly after midnight here. And of course, they were all talking about the millennial bug. What could happen? I've got the TV on, the lights are on, and I'm talking to her on a telephone that won't work without electricity. And jokingly, I said to her, "Everything went out." And she, not stopping to realize that I couldn't even be talking to her. She wouldn't be hearing a TV in the background. You know, we got hyped up about that. And what? That's been 8 years ago. But to a lot of folks, it seems like it was just yesterday that that happened. I still have a little stuffed millennial bug, Y2K bug, on my computer that somebody sent me. And I keep him there as kind of a reminder of that. So the time is short. But there is that 7-year difference between the rapture of the church, the physical catching away, and the actual physical return of Jesus Christ, where he will set his foot upon the Mount of Olives and the millennial kingdom will begin. So we have to always think about that. And a lot of what we read about, we talk about, we hear about actually refers to the Messianic kingdom and setting it up. We know today, Brother Art, that we're at least 7 years away from that. But the rapture could take place any time. The second coming, as far as us going up to meet the Lord in the air, which is the rapture, not the second coming, that could happen any time. You see, the rapture is when Jesus calls his bride. And in Matthew chapter 25, he likens it, and we're not going to turn there right now, but you've all heard this story before, and you can turn if you want to. That's where he gives the story of the parable of the bride and the bridegroom. Calls all these people, the 10 virgins here, the 5 foolish and the 5 wise. And there were 5 that didn't go prepared. And their lamps went out, and they had to go buy oil. And while they were out buying oil, the door opened. Those that were there were invited into the marriage supper. And the door was closed. They came back, they banged on the door, and were not allowed entrance. You know, I'm thinking of another event that took place a long time ago. God spoke to a man by the name of Noah, said, "Build me an ark. I want you to gather all of these things, the animals, bring them onto the ark, invite other folks." Noah preached a long time. Looking back, Noah was probably the most unsuccessful preacher in history. He preached for over 100 years and didn't have one convert. But he gave him a chance. He preached at him, told him a flood was coming, and they laughed in his face, made fun of him. So that crazy old guy that's building that big old monstrosity out there. All these things that he's doing. But the day came that God said, go on board. And he didn't say, Noah, shut the door. It says, and God shut the door. I've heard people discuss this, and one of the reasons why it's believed that it's very specific that God shut the door is because when these folks began banging on the sides of the ark, Noah probably in compassion would have opened the door and let some of them on board. But God has said, no, time has passed. And he shut the door. And the Bible goes on to tell us in some of these same scriptures in Matthew that the time is coming when it will be like as it were in the days of Noah. In fact, Matthew chapter 24, verses 37 through 41, if you want to turn there. Matthew chapter 24, verse 37. But it says, as the days of Noah were, so shall all the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark. He knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken and the other left. That's what it's going to be like at the day that the rapture takes place. It's going to come without notice. You see, anybody that's left behind that has any inkling of Christianity, has ever read a Bible, they're going to be able to sit down and say, okay, in 7 years, Jesus is setting foot on the Mount of Olives. But they don't know when that trumpet's going to sound. And those who are members of the bride are going to be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. They don't know when that's going to happen. And that's what's going to catch everybody by surprise. Because you see, these other things are pretty well laid out. What's going to transpire? What's going to take place? 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 and 17 says, for the Lord Himself shall descend from the heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, and to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. The day is coming that the trumpet is going to sound. There's going to be that shout takes place. And we're going to cast off these mortal bounds. Gravity is no longer going to hold us down. It says we are going to be caught up to meet Him in the air. 1 Corinthians 15:51 says, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. Yeah. Preacher I knew wrote a song called We Shall Be Changed. And it went, we shall be changed, we shall be changed, changed from this mortal to immortality in the twinkling of an eye. Not exactly that tune, but close enough. We shall be changed.
Amen.
Those who are ready to meet the Lord shall be changed. You know, in the natural, there is not a way without the aid of machinery and all that stuff that we can break the bonds of gravity. And we're still affected by it. Even if you go up in a shuttle and you're orbiting the Earth, you're still affected by gravity to some extent. But the day is going to come that we shall be changed, and none of this will have effect on us anymore. We will be changed from mortal to immortal. We won't have to worry about dying anymore or any of these other things. We won't have to worry about what's going to happen because we shall be changed. Revelation chapter 20, verse 4 says, and I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of the Lord, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had any his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. The time is coming that those of us who are born again Christians, who have Jesus Christ in our heart, who are serving God, that the trump will sound, and whether you're dead in the grave or whether you're still walking around living and breathing, you're going to be caught up to meet Him in the air.
Yes, sure.
But then the time is going to come that that tribulation is going to take place. Most of us here, I think, know what the Bible talks about in the tribulation period and what will happen. Some of those things. And all you've got to do is turn on the TV set and listen to the news to know that the keys and the steps are all falling into place. Doors are being opened and doors are being shut. Events are taking place that are getting everything set into motion for what will take place during the tribulation period. You know, the Bible doesn't talk about America in the tribulation period. A lot of people have often wondered why you can't find America in Scripture and prophecy about it. And some folks believe it's because we will be reduced to a third world nation by that time, or that we will have some tragedy that will take place, maybe a natural disaster or something that will happen that will cause us to withdraw from the rest of the world. And you know, we had a period in our history called the period of isolationism, and what that was is we didn't go out and try to run the rest of the world. We stayed home and took care of ourselves. Not necessarily the best policy in the world, but we did a lot more for ourselves back then, and we were more self-substantiating back then. And now we're having to be the world's policeman, the world caretaker. But the day is going to come that we're going to pull away from that. Indications are that there will be a power rise up in Europe or in the Middle East. It will become that power. And right now, who is coming to forefront is the power in the Middle East. Whose money is worth the most in the world right now? The European Union. Their money is worth a whole lot more than our money. In fact, now a lot of tourists are coming here from Europe because it's cheaper to come here. You know, a lot of folks go to Mexico on vacation or some of the places in South America because you can go in. And on a little bit of money, you can get quite a lot. In fact, we were in Belize a couple of years ago, and I kind of like Belize. And you know, if I were not involved in ministry or anything and I was thinking about retiring, I'd consider moving down there because, hey, on what you make on Social Security, you can live like a king in Belize. You could live really good. Climate's nice. All that. They speak English. You don't have to learn a new language. You could live like a king. Well, now it's getting to the point that other people are coming here because their money's worth so much more. They can have so much on their vacation. It's just kind of like the example of us going to Mexico or some of these South American countries because we could do so much more with our money there. It's happening. Things are coming into place when these new events will take place. New things will rise up. So the tribulation period will happen after the rapture takes place. Can you imagine what's going to happen in the world in the first few weeks, months after the rapture? It's going to be a big mess to clean up. It really is. They get that all cleaned up, and halfway through, we've got the Antichrist comes along, declares himself to be God, issues the mark of the beast. If you don't bow down, if you don't accept the mark of the beast, then you don't eat. We all know if you don't eat, after a while you die anyway. If you don't take the mark, not only do you not eat, but good possibility, you have an appointment with a chopping block. So those are some of the things that will take place during that period. What's happening to the saints, those that went up to be with the Lord for that 7-year period? They're enjoying the glories and the presence of heaven there. They're around the throne of God. They're enjoying all of these things as we sit at the marriage supper of the Lamb. They're being blessed by God. But then the time will come, it talks about here, there will be those saints during the tribulation. Those people who knew about God. Those people who were kind of wishy-washy. Those people that had a halfway commitment maybe, but had never really accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Maybe they went to church. And kind of like a certain presidential candidate who said he went to a church for 20 years and never heard anything the pastor said. That's the way they were. Some of them will wake up after the trumpet sounds. And they'll decide to make that stand. But I'll tell you, folks, if you can't live a Christian life right now, how do you expect to live a Christian life during the tribulation period when everything is going against you? Now, I know there are folks in the world today that under persecution that's just like tribulation that will take place during the tribulation period. They're undergoing some of these things, and it's tough. I had a friend down in Trinidad that he was raised to be a priest. And when he decided to investigate the Christian religion because he wanted to see a picture of what the Christian God looked like, his family wanted him dead. And they tried to kill him. The great story there is it turned out as he went on and grew up, because he was only about 12 years of age at that time, he grew up, became a preacher, and his family all got saved. But that doesn't happen very often in situations like that. So those folks are going to be having it tough. But the Bible talks about they'll also come into the presence of the Lord. Those that were beheaded for the gospel's sake. Those that laid down their life and had their life taken from them actually during the tribulation period. They will find their place around the throne as well. But I don't want to have to go through something like that. I had a preacher friend who said, I want to go up in the first bus because I'm a coward. You know, I don't want to stick around to see any of that take place. Man, Payne and I are not buddies. You know, I don't want to have to go through anything that hurts. I was trained to be a medic in the Army, and one of the problems I had was I sometimes pass out when there was blood. Fortunately, I never had to work as a medic. Oh, it would have been a bad case. I don't want those things. I want to go up, as they say, in the first busload. But then there will come the time that there will be that 1,000 years of millennial reign. The Bible doesn't really talk a whole lot about it, but it talks about some of the events that will take place, and Jesus will set up his millennial kingdom. There'll be the 1,000 years of peace. We'll rule and reign with Christ. There was a discussion a couple of weeks ago, and I think I mentioned it here in the church, about what will you be doing in heaven? Will we all be sitting around on clouds playing harps? How many of you think that would be boring? A couple of people think it would be boring. Anybody here a harp player? If you've never played a musical instrument, that'd be your chance to learn one. No, we're not going to be sitting around playing harps all the time. I think God has a job for us. He'll have work for us to do in that millennial kingdom. Things for us to do. I still reiterate that Mary has said that my job in heaven will be timekeeper. Because I'm always watching the clock, I guess. But 1,000 year period. The Bible then doesn't talk a whole lot what happens after that. But we do know from Revelation chapter 20, verses 7 through 12, it says, and when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth. Gog and Magog shall gather themselves together to battle, the number of whom is as the sands of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about. And the beloved city and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And then it goes on to say, and I saw a great white throne, and him that sat upon it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the book according to their works. Now, I know somebody say, oh, you said you're going to be judged according to your works there. Well, white throne judgment. If you already were in the first busload, or you're one of the tribulation saints, or during the millennial period, but there's coming that time, there'll be those who died without God. Never accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior, will be judged. And there they will be judged according to their works. Doesn't mean they're going to heaven. just as the Bible talks about Christians will have rewards in heaven. And you know, it's kind of interesting about Christian rewards in heaven, because some of the people who think they're due a great reward, or we look at and say, oh, they're going to get a great reward, we might be surprised. If somebody that we never heard of and never thought about gets a better reward. So as Christians get their rewards, those who died that did not have God in their life, did not have Christ in their life, will be judged. And the only thing they can be judged by is by their works. And what their, for lack of a better terminology, their reward in hell will be. It's not a pretty sight. But the Word says it's going to take place. And I believe if the Bible says it's going to take place, it's going to happen. I have no doubt about it. It will happen. It will occur. I don't know when, but it will take place. And the Bible doesn't tell us how long after the 1,000 years that that takes place. Because it says at the end of the 1,000 years, Satan will be loosed for a season, but it does not tell us how long that season is. And then you will have the white throne judgment. And that wraps the whole story up there. Because then it tells us, in the last part of the book of Revelations, in chapter 21, verse 1, it says, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea." Complete new makeover for planet Earth. It's changed. "And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow or crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away.'" The new heaven, the new earth, the new Jerusalem. Goes on to say in verse 5, "And he that sat upon the throne said, 'Behold, I make all things new.' And he said unto me, 'Write, for these words are true and faithful.' And he said unto me, 'It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." How long will it be till we get that point? Well, we know it's got to be at least 1,000 years before you get to that point. But we need to be concerned with the present. And the present is we need to make sure that we're ready for that trumpet to sound. We need to make sure that we're prepared within our hearts when that trumpet sounds, that our feet are going to let go of the ground and we're going up to meet the Lord in the air. And then we're going to be with Him forever and ever. The trumpet sounds. One thing I do know, when the trumpet sounds, that we're going to recognize it. The other thing I know, when that trumpet sounds, it doesn't matter where you are on planet Earth. If you're a born-again child of God, you're going to hear it. Even if you're a deep sleeper and you're asleep. They talk about that when I sleep, I'm so gone that the world could come to an end and I wouldn't know it. I remember years ago, there was an incident that happened just a couple of doors down from the house. And this was when I was a kid. Some guy was firing a shotgun and all these things were going on. I slept through the sirens, everything else. Nothing woke me up. And even I can be in a sleep like that, and I'll hear that trumpet sound. And I'm going to come up and meet the Lord of the air. That's the day I'm excited about. And what's even more exciting, the Bible tells us it's this generation that we are living in. And if the generation, going by timeline, is 70 years or 80 years, and we start that generation even in 1948, we're getting awful close. We're getting awful close. A lot of us here were born, several of us here I know were born in the 40s, early 50s. Our generation. It's exciting. And I know, we look around and have to go to the gas station, fill up the tank in our car, and some cartoons have showed you apply for a bank loan while you're there. Greetings, sir. I see your identification. Okay. Check your credit score. Okay. Okay, sir, you've been approved. You can now buy a tank of gas. That's just about the way it is. And we all grumble and complain about it. I really grumble and complain about it since I have to fill up almost every other day. But that's just another one of the signs that tells us the day is at hand. The day is at hand. I can just imagine. Happens through the week. Daytime hours. New York City. 8 a.m. Monday morning. Can you imagine what it's going to be like there when that takes place? Utter chaos. And a few days later, there'll be somebody coming on the television saying, "We're glad they're gone. Now we can get down and we can run the thing the way we want to run it." Because the Bible goes on to tell us that the only reason things are doing as well as they're doing right now is because the Christian is still in the world. And God's keeping things the way they are for our sake. Otherwise, it'd be a lot more miserable shape than it's in. But when we're taken out, it's not going to be a pretty picture. Now I say that acknowledging the fact that, yeah, for some people, they'll think it's great. But it'll turn up not being so great. Jesus is coming soon. I know that sometime soon, He'll be setting foot on the Mount of Olives. But I know even before that happens, 7 years before that happens, that trumpet's going to sound. And He's going to say, "Come up hither, and we're going to join Him in the air, where we will enjoy the marriage supper of the Lamb. And we'll be participants in it. Great banquet feast that's going to last for 7 years. How many like to eat? How many don't want to admit they like to eat? Yeah. Can you imagine getting to eat at a banquet for 7 years? I don't know if we'll spend the entire 7 years just eating. Probably not. But that's how long the celebration's going on. This generation shall not pass until we see the coming of Messiah. Years from 1948. Add 20 years to make the length of a generation at 80 years. It's short, folks. That trumpet sound could take place any day. Take place any day. And I want to be ready. I want to be ready. And I won't have to depend upon whether the batteries in my hearing aids work. Brother Art, you're not going to have to worry whether that ear is still stopped up. That sound's coming through. Amen. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your promises. I thank you for what you're going to do, Father. And Father, I'm so excited about what's fixing to take place. No, I don't like some of the things that are going on right now. I don't like the high price of gas. I don't like the high price of things. But I know that it's what's coming to pass, Father, and the day is coming that that trumpet is going to sound, and it's very soon. And Father, I thank you for that because I have that hope that I'm going to join with you and be with you forever and forever. And I give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Aren't you glad that the Lord's coming soon?
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah.